morning. It is time to get up with the greatest show in sports today, putting together the greatest night of his career. Mr. Morant must see. We've got him right off the top. Then the clock ticks and the plot thickens. Did the Packers' social media drop a hint about Aaron's future? What do they know that we don't? We'll get you there. Plus, if you're expecting the star to spend, think again. We'll explain why what you think of this team is not what they really are. All that and more. We're getting up with you, starting right now. And oh, my cup runneth over. The table jam-packed. Graziano's ready to go. Bartholomew is here. Resplendent in purple is the big fella, Chris Canty. And they're not alone. Tim Legler standing by as well, ready to go to break down what was the performance of the night. Might have been the performance of the year. Gentlemen, feast your eyes on Ja Morant. Grizzlies, Spurs, late second quarter. Bart, this one sort of defies my ability to describe it. So what do we think about this dunk? We got Morant. We got Jakob Poeltl on the wrong end.
Say hello to my little friend.
What do you think?
I tell you what, man, this kid is so explosive. Every time I see him, I cry for the Knicks.
Unbelievable. Right on Jakob Poeltl. But you know what? He had another play at the end of the half that might have been better. How about this? 1 second left in the half.
Come
that
on.
Goes in.
Unbelievable.
Canty, what?
Man, that's one of those horse shots. There's no way that you would think you're going to try that in an NBA game. But Ja Morant could somehow pull it off.
He is the best.
I would put it on bleak.
The best show in sports, 29 at the half for Morant. And he was just getting started. Grizzlies by 10. Fourth quarter now. 5 minutes to play. It's an 8-point game. Morant, 1, 2, 3. Four defenders, not a problem. Memphis by 10. 4 minutes to play. Memphis up a dozen. Morant with it again. Just count the defenders that just have no chance. That gave him 48. Grizzlies by 14. 3 minutes left. Get it to him. Get it to him. Let him get half a century. And it's good. Ja Morant would finish with 52. Second consecutive game in which he sets the franchise scoring record. Grizzlies win it again. And after, Morant overwhelmed.
I ain't gonna lie. I don't know if I can talk about that right now, man. My head all over the place.
I felt like, you know, a little bit of pressure. It's like, man, you here now. You got to get it. And
as I got close, they told me to, you know, go ahead and go get it. So that's why y'all see every time they got the ball, they was looking for 12. Oof.
All right, so the Grizzlies played 2,207 games before Ja Morant became their first player ever to score 50. That's the most games any team has played before their first 50-point score in NBA history. And if you include playoffs, Ja Morant is now responsible for 5 of the 7 highest scoring games in Grizzlies history. Did I mention that he is in his third year in the NBA? Tim Legler, what? I mean, I don't have any way to describe what it is we're seeing in this kid right now. What should we be saying?
Well, what you're seeing right now is a combination of some of the best slightly built guards in the history of this league. I mean, he combines all of those guys in one package. He's got the relentlessness of an Allen Iverson. He's got the body control and finishing ability of a Kyrie Irving. He's got a swagger about him that gives that team so much confidence, Greeny. And right now, I'd say Ja Morant is probably at the top of the list in terms of must-see TV. If he's playing and you've got league pass, you better be checking out Ja Morant, because it's very likely you're going to see something that you haven't seen at all this season. And the other component to his game that's so important, it's where he does his damage. This team had 66 points in the paint last night. I think they've had over 70 12 times. And it's Ja Morant is the guy, your point guard, is the guy that's doing all of that damage at the rim. And that just breaks you down completely the entire game. So right now, Ja Morant seems like he's on a mission. He is really driven right now, and he has elevated himself firmly into the MVP discussion.
Yeah, he has scored 98 points in their last two games. And one of them, you know, in Chicago the other night, so it's against a good team. You said in the firmly in. The MVP conversation has basically changed every week, right? It was DeRozan, it was Embiid. I'm old enough to remember when it was KD and Steph Curry. But Morant has a legitimate shot at winning that award, doesn't he?
No question about it. Because right now, this is the time of year when final decisions are going to be made in people's minds. And he's putting these kinds of electrifying stamps, you know, on that decision-making process every single night. Joel Embiid, I still think, is the guy that controls the award. I think it's his to lose with what he's done all year. He doesn't look like he's going to let up. You know, you wonder if will it hurt him in some respects adding a James Harden here down the stretch? Will that cannibalize, you know, some of his votes because they see how much help he has? So Ja Morant slid up there for sure. Jokic is very much in the discussion. I think Giannis is in the discussion. And I think Luka Doncic now is starting to elevate that team to put himself in the discussion. But I think Embiid is the guy that it's his award to lose right now.
That's fair. I will say this, though. Memphis could easily wind up the second seed in the Western Conference. If they were in the East, they would easily have the best record. Right now, if I had a vote, I think I would give it to Ja. Having said that, let's go to the East. We talked about it yesterday. The top two teams going head-to-head last night. The Bulls and the Heat in Miami. So that means DeMar DeRozan and Jimmy Butler. But it would be Bam Adebayo making a difference on both ends. Take a look at the defensive effort as they see the alley-oop. And, oh, it's Adebayo getting back to break it up with the left hand. So nice, you need to see it twice. Look at the effort on the defensive end of the floor. Bam Adebayo heating up a 9 points at the half. Now it's a 14-point game in the third. It's Adebayo throwing it up. It's Jimmy putting it in with a nice finish. Next Miami possession, Butler going to get blocked, but he's going to stay with it, and then he's going to find Bam, and Bam is going to do the rest. 15 points, 7 rebounds for Bam Adebayo. Fourth quarter looking to put it away. Max Strus going to find Caleb Martin, and Caleb Martin is going to do the rest. Heat win it 112-99, and with that win, Miami finds itself now 2 games ahead of Chicago for first place in the East. Our basketball power index actually gives the Heat a 99% chance to earn home court through the Eastern playoffs. Caesars likes the Nets, the Bucks, and the Sixers better than they like Miami in the East, despite all of that. And so, well, we understand this, that there's regular season good and there's postseason good. But so as we size up those teams at the top of the Eastern Conference standings legs, right now, who do you favor?
Well, I like Miami a lot. I think they're one of those teams that I can legitimately see in the finals. I'm not sure I feel the same way about Chicago, and I need to see them healthy again. It's really hurt them having their two best playmakers and on-the-ball defenders taken out of the lineup right now. But listen, they're a great story, and they're a very good team. I just don't think they're on the level of what you're seeing right now in a Miami. I think, obviously, in a Philadelphia, which right now I think has the highest ceiling in the East, the Nets are going to get significantly better. You get KD back, you incorporate Ben Simmons into the mix. You added 2 more starters in that trade. So the Nets' best days are certainly ahead of them. And let's not forget the defending champs, Milwaukee. So when you handicap all of that, I think Miami is in that top four. I think Chicago is slightly outside of it. The reason I like Miami so much, and you saw that play that Bam Adebayo made in that highlight, which I think was one of the best individual defensive plays I've seen all year. That team has so much versatility with what they can do and all of the switching that they can do without giving much up. When you put a Bam Adebayo out there with a Jimmy Butler and a PJ Tucker, I mean, you've got a lot of bases covered. Add Kyle Lowry to the mix when he's healthy. And you've got a team now, I just think, that defensively can do things nobody else can. They can win games flat out on that end of the floor. And that is why I think the Heat are a dangerous threat to come out of the East, even though they're not going to get as much attention because the Nets, the Sixers, the Bucks, those teams are sexier storylines. The Heat are just going about their business right now, but absolutely legitimately a title threat.
Now, the East is going to be absolutely nuts when we get there, and we're heading down the stretch. Legs, stay close. We'll have more from you a little later. Thank you. Meanwhile, the big story in the NFL continues to develop and percolate. We are 1 week away from the franchise tag deadline, and that is, of course, significant because the Packers have to make a decision on their superstar receiver, Devontae Adams, and whether they want to use the tag on him, something both he and Aaron Rodgers do not ultimately want to see happen. And speaking of Rodgers and Adams, I want you to check out this tweet the Packers sent out promoting their game in London. That, of course, is legendary Abbey Road. And, you know, none of them took their shoes off the way Paul McCartney famously did. But anyone notice anything odd about this picture as I bring the football crew in here? You know, you're sort of promoting your most sort of like putting a picture of the Beatles up and not putting in Paul McCartney or John Lennon. Right. Dan Graziano, what happened to Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams in the picture?
Well, if the Beatles social media team was listening to John Lennon say, I don't know if I'm coming back for this next album, they wouldn't put him on the cover. So, like, Rodgers, by his own admission, might not be on the team next year. Devontae Adams is eligible for free agency. So, I mean, to me, it's like I don't know. I feel like we would have been even more surprised if they had put them in than if they hadn't.
You all know me.
I know, yeah.
Far be it from me to make a big deal about nothing. But am I making a big deal about nothing? Bartholomew Scott, you know, one knows social media better than you do. Should we make a big deal of the fact that they didn't include Rodgers and Devontae in the social media post?
You don't want to get one of those congratulations you played yourselves, right? You don't want to put him on there, then he doesn't show up and people have that poster. They're going to have that poster and run it back on you. So, listen, I understand, like, when you have uncertainty about what player is going to be on the team, you know, next year, you got to make sure that you protect yourself from being a meme. You know, it looks good, though. Well, Bart, maybe he's in the back in the trees, John Wick style.
Bart, I appreciate you channeling your inner Ebro from High 97. Yeah. But what I will say is this. I mean, you already got an uncomfortable situation between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers organization. Why would you make it potentially more awkward by leaving them out of their first promotional graphic when it comes to them taking their first trip across the pond to play in the international series? It just doesn't make sense. And at every turn, the organization has publicly made it be known that they want Aaron Rodgers back. And if having Devontae Adams back is something that would help them to that end, then that's something that they'd be willing to do. Where's the loss for the Green Bay Packers by putting Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams on the graphic? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, it's Abbey Road. There's only, what, five guys in the picture?
Right.
If it's Sergeant Pepper and they hadn't put him in, then I would say there's a problem because there's so many people in that one, it would be obvious.
Get them in the outfits.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. And look, I could do the Beatles references all day long. But for people who were saying, you know, I'm getting a little tired of this Aaron Rodgers story, you're certainly not
already
alone.
Too.
We can put a back end to it, right? There is a date by which there has to be resolution to this.
Yeah, March 16th, the start of the league year. Look, the reason they restructured the contract the way they did last summer to get him to camp, it has a $46 million cap hit. They have to be under the cap by 4 o'clock Eastern time on the 16th. So they have to do something with the contract, whether it's extend him, restructure it, even if they agree to a trade, right? They can't officially trade him till, you know, 4:01 Eastern on the 16th. So they have to be under the cap before then. They'd have to redo the contract, probably in consultation with the acquiring team. So something has to be done. Even if he retires, they're going to want to redo it the way the Saints did with Drew Brees last year to get him under the cap.
So, Chris Canty, something has to happen here, and it has to happen soon. We keep talking about it as though, I feel like we have talked about it on this show, as though the combine this week was the deadline. It isn't really. It would be nice if for the team to know what's happening. But there's 2 weeks max left in this.
Yeah, all these decisions aren't made in the silo either, Greeny, because we keep talking about the other pieces that get affected the longer Aaron Rodgers drags this thing out. I mean, you're talking about guys like Jair Alexander needing a contract extension because he's in the last year of his deal. What are you going to do with Adrian Amos? What are you going to do with Billy Turner, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith? These are all guys that played at a high level for you on the defensive side of the ball and along the offensive line, guys that you're going to need in order to continue to sustain that level of play. And the longer Aaron Rodgers drags this out, the longer it delays the Green Bay Packers getting to those orders of business.
Yeah, I mean, we know for sure probably either Preston Smith or Za'Darius Smith is gone because of the emergence of Rashawn Gary, their draft pick from a couple of years ago. And listen, it's all about the redistribution of money, right? So we know that guys are going to continue to restructure. They're going to push people, you know, signing bonuses and extensions and put the dummy years on the back end. But, I mean, I need to know something pretty soon, especially if I'm Devontae Adams, because the last thing I want to do, I think it would be unfair to Devontae Adams to give him the franchise tag at 30 years old and watching what happened with Odell Beckham, because what happens is if he gets an injury, sustains an injury underneath the franchise tag, it could really cost him over $100 million. He's been too great of a soldier for your program to do that to him. So I don't see them doing that. You know, they may have to start looking in the secondary market. I mean, everybody knows that Calvin Ridley is potentially a guy that could be, you know, traded for. They need to have their secondary plan because nobody knows what A-Ron, this time last year, he's playing a ukulele somewhere up in Hawaii. So who knows what the hell he's going to do?
Right, we'll see. Final word, go.
Well, they have till next Tuesday to franchise Adams, and I do believe they'll do it, even if it's just to hold him off the market while they work on a long-term deal. You can always pull that tag back if Rodgers leaves and they decide they want to move on.
Yeah, so that, and then they would have till the middle of July, I think, to work out
if they
a long-term
him, right,
contract
exactly.
If he winds up on the tag. All right, just getting started. What a busy morning we have working for you. Coming up, will it be March Madness in Dallas? Should Jerry and the Cowboys go on a spending spree? His son has answered the question. You might be surprised by what he said. Plus, is Big Ben's replacement in this year's draft? Mel Kiper will answer that and more. His mock is ready to go, and so are we. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Pack. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. And the NFL is going into a very busy time. Free agency and the draft coming up. Let's focus on the top priorities for these teams. Graziano, what should be the Patriots' number one priority?
I say defense. They fell apart late in the year. They couldn't stop the Bills on literally any possession in the playoff game. Got some age on that side of the ball. They could see some retirements. They got to figure out J.C. Jackson. Are they going to sign him, franchise him, bring him back? A lot of work to do on the defensive side of the ball for New England. A lot of people say receiver, but I think they can find that. I think defense is the more important area for them to address.
Interesting. Bartholomew, how about your old team? What should the Ravens' top priority be?
Got to protect the franchise. Offensive line, Alejandro was a liability last year. We got to go get somebody like Tyler Linderbaum. You know, we get Ronnie Stanley back. You have to protect the franchise. Lamar Jackson was under duress far too much. Get that running game going so we can get back where we've blown.
Tyler Linderbaum, the center who will go somewhere in the first round of this year's draft. Chris Canty, how about the Cowboys? What should their priority be?
Well, gee, I'm going to sound like Bart Scott's echo when I say it, but it's an offensive line. And clearly that was a score spot, especially when you looked at the wild card game, because Dak Prescott was sacked five times by that 49ers front. You got Tyron Smith, who's played in a grand total of 13 games over the past 2 years. Connor Williams is a free agent, and Tyler Biadasz hasn't been the guy that they thought he would to replace Travis Frederick. They got to retool that offensive line in order to do high-level winning.
All right, fair enough. Now, speaking of the Cowboys, Stephen Jones, the man in charge of things there, of course, with his dad, Jerry, spoke about the Cowboys' plans ahead of free agency in a few weeks. Listen to what he says they're not going to do.
If I'm looking into a crystal ball right now, I see most of our money that would go toward free agency going to our current players. Now, it doesn't mean that won't change, that we don't come across a value on a player that we said, hey, it's just one we got to take. So I don't want to rule it out.
Now, it's sort of interesting, and I think this is an opportunity to sort of inform people of things they may not otherwise know. Graziano, people perceive, because of the bombast and the public nature of their owner, that the Cowboys are kind of the Yankees of football. But the truth is, if they don't spend big in free agency, that wouldn't be unusual.
No, that's how they operate. They have been a draft and develop team that has not hit free agency hard the last few years. Even last year, when they got into free agency, it was late in the game when players cost a lot less and it was a little more targeted. You look at this, they are consistently at or near the bottom of the league in terms of free agent spending. They do spend it, as Stephen Jones was saying, on trying to re-sign their own guys and build it the right way. What's weird is on that list there, the other two teams have done a bit more winning than the Cowboys have. So the approach is right, but something's going wrong between the offseason and the postseason.
But the point remains worth making here. And so, Bart, I guess some will look at it and say, you've got a win-now team that didn't win last year. The window is what the window is. The owner is in the position that he is. Should they be going all in? Should they be doing what NFL teams can do, which is pushing out money and all that kind of stuff, go heavily into the thing? If teams want to do it with a salary cap creatively, they can, and try and go all in to win it this year. Is this a team that should be doing that?
I think, one, they have to take care of their house first. I mean, I think they got to get rid of Amari Cooper. I think CeeDee Lamb has proven that he's the number one receiver there. Also, it's time to say goodbye to Ezekiel Elliott. You can find that type of productivity somewhere else, either in the draft or in free agency. I think Pollard's earned the right. And that's a tough conversation to have, but that's why you get paid the big bucks. I mean, Connor Williams was a walk-in penalty last year and really got exploited at the right tackle position. They need to go out and go get some guys, some hired guns. And to do that, they're going to have to get rid of some of their, you know, namesakes, some of their premier players that have been the face of their franchise for a couple of years. And I think you start with Ezekiel Elliott.
What do you think, big fella?
Well, they can't cut Ezekiel Elliott, not this offseason. Yeah, no shot about that because of the cap hit that they would take. But when you start looking at the Cowboys, they don't have a lot of flexibility under the salary cap. They're bottom five in terms of cap space. Now, you can restructure some deals, but to answer your original question, hell yeah, they should go all in right now because you look at the NFC East, you look at that division, that is a clear path to the postseason. And every team will tell you our first priority going into the offseason is to build a roster that's capable of winning the division. The Dallas Cowboys absolutely have that. So you try to add the requisite pieces where you can, restructure contracts, create voidable years on the back end of some of the deals of guys that are going to be around there long term in order to try to win this.
I like it because that division also has the potential to get much better. These things tend to be sick. The Eagles have all those first-round picks. The Giants have two very high first-round picks this year. Let's see if they get those right for a change. Washington might be a quarterback away, all kidding aside, from being markedly better.
Yeah,
so the Cowboys
absolutely made
the playoffs last year by owning that division. Yes. That might not be a recipe going much further.
No one's repeated as division champions since 2004 in the NFC East, right? And that's not a coincidence. These teams are generally tightly bunched. The Cowboys were head and shoulders above the rest of them last year. But, I mean, you know, you're talking about the offensive line. We don't usually talk about that with the Cowboys.
Yep, yeah.
They went about a half decade where they drafted an offensive lineman in the first round just about every year, right? Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, right? Zach Martin.
And that's why they were so good for so long.
But there's some age showing up
right on
that. Tyron Smith has not been healthy. So that, but when they get back to that, it'll be draft and develop. They do not want to be the team that goes out the first wave of free agency and spends big. There is plenty of evidence that shows us that's not the way to do it.
All right, we will see what winds up happening. The star might not be in the spending spree a lot of people would like to see them make. In the meantime, this story out of the desert continues to be remarkable. Does Kyler Murray want out of Arizona? The stunning statement from an agent that has Bartholomew fired up this morning. You need to hear it. Plus, the Giants have big questions at quarterback. Is there a better option in this draft than the one they have? We will ask Mel Kiper that question and more. His mock is ready, and he's coming up. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up and Wake Up, Memphis. This kid is spectacular. Pete Pranica with the call, Bally Sports Southwest. Let's hear it.
Morant blows by Primo. Attack!
Oh! Holy cow! That is unbelievable! Oh, wow! Petey, I thought we've seen it all. We have not seen it all.
Oh, my goodness. Adams going long. Morant! He hit it! John Morant, insanity!
John. John Morant at 52 points last night, franchise. Which of those two is the more incredible play, the dunk or the shot at the end of the half?
The shot, because that's all core. To be able to jump in the air and still have the strength to throw a ball, that's a lot of core.
I disagree, man. Anytime you punching on a seven-footer and you're one step
jump.
Into the lane.
That was Billy Hoyle underneath there.
Jacopoto learned his lesson, too, because they had the same play in the fourth quarter. He moved way the hell out the way.
That's an emphatic play.
Yeah, I'm going with
defense.
The dunk over a seven-footer.
You don't want to get – I mean, he just about retired you on that, so you're not getting in his way.
John Morant is playing NBA 2K with the NBA. I mean, 52 last night, 46 the night before against the Bulls in a win. Like, this dude is on a whole nother level.
Second consecutive game in which he set the franchise scoring record.
Yeah.
At 46 on Saturday night against Chicago. That's ridiculous.
Complete insanity.
There were 0.4 seconds left on the clock when that ball was inbounded 94 feet away. He throws it up and good. Right now his name is up and near the top, if not at the top of the MVP conversation. And there is no doubt that he is the best show.
You're out of your mind, Bart. That is the more impressive play.
Man, he didn't know what to do.
The shot take,
listen,
accuracy.
When we're sitting here and we open the show by debating which is the more spectacular of the plays that John Morant made in one half last night, you know the kid is onto something special. All right, back to the football we go. Graziano, let's run the hurry up. We got news and notes. It starts with a date of significance for Deshaun Watson.
On the fifth day of the league year, so about March 21st, Deshaun Watson gets more guaranteed money. His $35 million salary for this year is already guaranteed, but as of March 21st, a full $37 million for 2023 will become fully guaranteed. You wonder if that date matters to the Houston Texans in their efforts to try and trade him. Of course, if he ends up suspended under the personal conduct policy, you can void the guarantees, but you can't count on that happening. So watch out for that date as the Deshaun Watson saga continues to slog along. Jameis Winston, here's a video of him running on an anti-gravity treadmill. He's coming back from significant surgery. His hope is to be ready to start the season. For someone, he is a free agent. He is one of the quarterbacks that teams are looking at on that quarterback market. You know, if you can't get an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson or a Deshaun Watson, Winston's going to be at or near the top of the next list, especially if he can show that he's healthy. Kyler Murray is healthy, but he's aggravated. His agent put out a statement yesterday saying that they've suggested a contract extension to the Cardinals. They're waiting to hear back. He would like to stay. This is the first offseason in which Kyler Murray is eligible to negotiate a contract extension. To this point, it seems fair to say it hasn't gone very well. Obviously, the agent out there publicly talking about what they want and him wanting to be back there.
So, well, you said that very well. I mean, when you point that out, he's aggravated, hasn't gone well. The agent put out this statement yesterday. I've been covering sports for 30 years, and Dan, you have as well. I've never seen anything like this. They put out a press release talking about how they want to get a contract extension and putting in phrases like that are aimed directly at the fans. It was a statement from the agent that was talking to the fans of the organization. I am all for him wanting a contract extension. Anyone in his position would want that. There's a lot of money out there. But the way they chose to go about it yesterday was unusual, to say the least. Bart Scott, what did you think of it?
Well, listen, I thought this was typical. Passive aggressive at its finest, and I'm the king of passive aggressive. No, actually, you are, Greeny.
Yes, that's
true. King of passive aggressive. And I've been here before. I sat here right here a couple of years ago, and I said, listen, I did not like the body language. I didn't like the mannerisms. I didn't like the way in which Kyler Murray went about his business. He seemed like a guy that was always pointing the finger, not the thumb. When you look at him in his interviews, he's slumping down. He's disrespectful to reporters. And everybody from Arizona, all the media came and attacked me. And then yet, 2 years later, they come out and they say the same things that I said here and what represents him. Listen, this organization has given him everything that he's asked for. You can't ask for a better receiver than Hopkins, A.J. Green, Zach Ertz. They've given him everything that he needs to be successful. They went out and got him more protection, going out and trading for Rodney Hudson. They go out and bring him leaders on the defensive side of the ball, and all of a sudden he feels entitled, right? He feels entitled. You have to earn your money here. How do you think Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, who are more accomplished quarterbacks than you feel, but you haven't heard them complain about anything. They've gone about their business. You come out with this, you're committed to the team as long as you can lead this team if they commit to you long term. No, how about you earn and you actually show that you're worth the number one overall pick, that you're worth that type of money. I'm not paying you $40 million because guess what? If I pay you $40, $50 million, this is the best team that you can be on, right? So you haven't shown that you're a force multiplier, that you make everybody around you better, that when the game gets tight, they can count on you, that you can make guys that we've never heard of like Jordy Nelson or receivers like that or Edelman or Wes Welker. You can't make those guys household names. You should win with this type of roster. I would argue that, listen, I would be making you prove it, and if not, I'll move on.
Look, there are a lot of quarterbacks who have been, to your point, more accomplished. And the first name that jumps to my mind is Dak Prescott,
yeah,
who didn't get paid after his third year, and lots of others have. And Chris Canty, you have a skeptical look on your face.
Yeah, because Bart's saying that Kyler Murray hadn't proved that he's a force multiplier. The year before they drafted Kyler Murray, they were a 3-win team.
Right.
Okay.
And they've had incremental improvement every single year. And this year, they're an 11-win team, and they were in the wild card round. And through the first 2 months of the season, Kyler Murray was a guy that we would say was one of the favorites to win the MVP. So when you talk about the organization giving everything that Kyler Murray wanted to him, they haven't granted him an audience when it comes to trying to work out a contract extension. And that's why the agent takes this approach with releasing this statement, because the overtures to get an extension done haven't been met with the kind of discourse that the agent and the player are hoping for. Now, here's the thing that nobody in the NFL wants to say, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. When it comes to quarterbacks, those guys are closer to the front office and ownership than the other 52 guys in the locker room.
Okay.
And that's how the owners made it with the rules that they put in place. The importance of having one of those guys, especially when they're a top 10 to 12 player in this league, that creates leverage and value. And Kyler Murray's value has exceeded the $5.5 million that he's scheduled to make in 2022.
So he deserves $50 million this year.
Well, I'm not saying he deserves $50 million.
He deserves $40 million.
No, hold on. Let me finish. Here's the situation. When you get paid, when you have years left on your contract, it has to be a team-friendly structure, but it doesn't preclude the organization from giving a guy a contract extension. Right. We saw it last year with Josh Allen. He got a six-year, $258 million deal.
And he's earned it.
I'm not trying to say that Kyler Murray is Josh Allen, but if you're a franchise that's sold on this guy being your future, and the Arizona Cardinals should be because he's a two-time Pro Bowler and he's only 24 years old, been in the league 3 years, then you go ahead and you make that commitment,
or at least
you have
the Pro Bowl. Mac Jones went to the Pro Bowl.
You have the discussion.
Graziano, jump in here. What do you think of all this?
So the question is, are they sold on that, right? And to the agent's point, actions will speak louder than words. The other thing the owners have at their disposal rules-wise is the fifth-year option, which for Kyler Murray is 2023. So they can pick that up, pay him $29 million next year. They can franchise him in 24. That's why you have to have the team-friendly structure, because otherwise there's no motivation for the team to do this deal. What the agent's trying to do is create that motivation by pressuring the team publicly and, you know, vaguely hinting that maybe he wouldn't want to be there if he can't get it done. But, man, it is March 1st. Like, even when Mahomes and Watson and Josh Allen got their extensions after year three, it wasn't until, like, July or August.
Right.
So
You know what? None of them did. None of them scrubbed their franchises from their social media in February in some sort of – I'll just say it. I mean, is that the way professionals behave? Just is not.
Well, here's the thing, Greeny. The relationship and the negotiations have devolved to the point where they feel like they don't have any other choice.
But the I think that's the thing
that you have to think about when you have this conversation.
That's insane.
He feels a way about it. He feels desperate enough where he has to go.
They're blaming me because I didn't win. He sounds like a child.
He sounds like a child, but I will say this. If Kyler Murray doesn't play for the Arizona Cardinals this year, then they got a problem. All the money that they've committed
to. Can he stay healthy for 17 games?
No, what I'm saying, Graz, what he can do is what we've seen Jamal Adams do last year in training camp, which is holding what Jalen Ramsey did his first year in training camp with the Rams, which is holding. All I'm simply saying is if Kyler Murray reports to camp and says, I'm not playing, I've got a hamstring, like we've seen with guys in the NBA do, then they've got a problem that they've got to fix. And that's where it comes to the general manager doing his job. A part of the job description is trying to have good relationships with your key.
And I need to leave this here because Mel is ready to go. But we're going to come back to this because I think it is an interesting and in the big picture, very important story. But nothing is more important than Mel Kiper Jr. His mock draft 2.0 is available as we speak, and you can see it on ESPN+. His top three picks, Mel has NC State offensive lineman Ike McQuanu going number one overall to Jacksonville. That is a flip from the last time that Mel did a mock. At number two, he's got Detroit taking Michigan's Aiden Hutchinson. He's at the Michigan program program record with 14 sacks last year. The Lions desperately need someone to rush the passer. At 3 overall, we go back to the offensive line. He has Houston taking Alabama's left tackle Evan Neal. Texans still have left tackle Laramie Tunsil in-house, but they allowed 44 sacks a year ago. Take a look at the rest of the top 10, all in for defense with the Giants, who have the two top 10 picks, Kayvon Thibodeau and Devin Lloyd, and of course, no quarterbacks currently slated in the top 10. And at this relatively still early stage of the process, as we bring the one and only Mel Kiper into the conversation, the man who invented the draft, at this relatively early stage, I think people are still sort of focusing on where the quarterbacks are going to wind up getting slotted. So we decided we would look at a couple of the most interesting teams. The Steelers, after all these years, they need to find a replacement for Ben Roethlisberger. Is that guy in the first round of this year's draft, Mel, yes or no?
So it could be, Greeny, where they're picking at 20. You think about, will Kenny Pickett from Pitt be there? I don't think so. Malik Willis, Liberty, could be there. It could fall in their lap at 20. They may not have to move up to get him. Matt Corral, Ole Miss, could certainly be there. Got to trust your rankings, Greeny. That's what you go back to. And I have Pickett right now at 19, Willis at 20, Corral at 27. So you think about top 10, Rich for me, 20 is about where you start thinking about a quarterback in this draft.
Okay, so that would be an interesting one. That almost answers the question here, but the Giants have two picks in the top 10, and again, as I mentioned, you've got them going defense with both of them, including Thibodeau, who at one point in this process people viewed maybe as the number one prospect of everyone. Is there a quarterback better than Daniel Jones in this draft?
Well, I believe Kenny Pickett could be Derek Carr. So I'm thinking, I've said this, is he Andy Dalton? Is he Derek Carr? Somewhere in between. He's going to be a good quarterback, so Daniel Jones needs help. The offensive line needs to come together and keep improving, and you got to keep Barkley healthy. You think about the receivers staying healthy and being on the field at the same time and catch the ball for a change, some of these guys like Evan Engram. And if that all came together, now you have Brian Daboll with Mike Kafka. Daniel Jones, this is his year to either get it done, win games, or they're going to move on. So, no, I think they use those picks. Like I said, the quarterbacks are at 19, 20, and 27 on the board. You're picking with two picks in the top 10. That's a major, major reach to take a quarterback that high, especially when you get two really good defensive players that you could take, or maybe Charles Cross, a left tackle from Mississippi State, as a possibility as well.
Yeah, the Giants, it seems they almost always go left tackle in this draft. Somehow they address the line every single year, Mel, and it gets worse every single year. I don't understand how that happens, but somehow that seems to be the case. All right, here's the really challenging one. Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts, they have three first-round picks, all of them in the mid-teens area there. Is there a better option for them than Jalen Hurts in this draft?
That's a tricky one. You're right about that, Greeny. Jalen Hurts has shown signs of becoming a really good dual-threat quarterback, but his passing skills need to keep improving, seeing the field, being more accurate, more precise, and certainly a late second-round pick is what he was for a reason. But he's a great kid. He works as hard as anybody. He gives you that multiple dimension as far as running and passing, but his passing is the key. Does it get to the point where you can win on a consistent basis with him, win a divisional title, move on, and maybe win a Super Bowl? But they have the three first-round picks they have needed as far as pass rusher, corner, big receiver to help with Devontae Smith, who had an outstanding rookie year, considering Hurts is not a great passing quarterback right now. So I would stick with Hurts over the quarterbacks in this draft, but we'll have to see how it evolves. They have, like I say, three first-round picks. They have some ability there to move up, move down, stockpile more picks. But I think Jalen Hurts deserves the benefit of the doubt right now. If you want to draft one and keep him there to see how Hurts develops, and if he doesn't, you have that fallback plan, you could go that route. But I think Hurts deserves to be the quarterback, the starting quarterback for the Eagles this coming season.
All right, Mel Kiper again, Mock 2.0 available on ESPN Plus right now. We'll talk a little later in this program. Mel, thank you as always. We'll check in again shortly. Meanwhile, a reminder, our final Super Tuesday regular season lineup on ESPN and the app starts in the SEC, 7 Eastern, Kentucky and Ole Miss. Then we go to the Big Ten, Purdue taking on Wisconsin, and close off your night with Arizona, USC, a terrific night of basketball here on ESPN. All right, coming up, the fuss is about Russ. Is Wilson dropping hints about his future in Seattle? One member of our crew has the perfect spot for him to land, and you'll hear what that is next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and it's time for our favorite game. It's called Can He or Can't He?
Let's go, G!
With Chris Canty. Let's start in San Francisco. Can Trey Lance lead the 49ers to the Super Bowl? Can he or can't he?
He can, G. He's taken over a pretty good roster. They were a top 10 offense and a top 5 defense, and we see this every couple of years with the second year quarterback leading his team to the Super Bowl. 2017, Carson Wentz. 2019, Pat Mahomes. You saw it with Joe Burrow this year. Why can't Trey Lance do it with that 49ers offense, the supporting cast, and having one of the most innovative play callers in all of football and Kyle Shanahan leading it? I can't imagine the different run game packages that Kyle Shanahan can come up with Trey Lance.
All right, it'd be fascinating to watch. Next, I want to know if you can make a case for the Colts to keep Carson Wentz. Can he or can't he?
No, I can't make a case for this one, G. Carson Wentz is broken, and we don't know how to fix it. And here's the thing. I had Dan Orlovsky on my radio show a few weeks back, and even he says he doesn't know how to fix Carson Wentz. It's hard to get past what happened in that Raiders game, which was the penultimate game of the regular season, and then the Jacksonville game where he went down there and had two turnovers, and they lost a winning in situation. You can't fix Carson Wentz, cut bait, and move on.
All right, nice use of penultimate. Finally, Russell Wilson. Can he win another Super Bowl in Seattle? Can he or can't he?
No, he can't. Not when their GM, John Snyder, is giving away multiple first-round draft picks for safeties. That's not going to work. And so you look at this roster right now, they're not ready to do high-level winning. They can't keep Russell Wilson upright. And so the best thing that the Seahawks can do is figure out how they can get the best trade package and get a haul for Russell Wilson and reset their franchise. Right now, with Russell Wilson, they don't have enough to be able to get back up into the upper echelon of that division.
All right, actually, let me bring the rest of the group back in, because I like that thought, and I think that the Russell Wilson topic is going to be an interesting one to watch. So you think that they should move him.
Yes.
Is there a place that you think he should want to go? Chris Canty, put Russell Wilson on another team that makes sense to you and puts them in the Super Bowl right now.
Gee, it's the Indianapolis Colts. I was just talking about it with Carson Wentz. They have a top 10 scoring offense, top 10 scoring defense, playmakers on every level of that defense, an offensive line that's built like a brick wall. They were in the bottom third of the league in terms of sacks allowed. And then when you look at their running game with Jonathan Taylor, you're talking about a guy that's an MVP candidate. Yeah, you got to work on some of the weapons, but Indianapolis makes a lot of sense. And if you look back at what their owner, Jim Irsay, tweeted out during the playoffs in January, he said, you have to have a quarterback in an offense that can score north of 30 to win this time of year. And you got to have a defense that can keep them under it. If you couple that with the reports that we see coming out from Chris Mortensen and others, It makes it feel like the Colts are about to make a big push in order to try to get one of these big-time quarterbacks, whether it's via trade.
That's the tweet that you were talking about up there on the screen. Bart, you like it or no?
Nah, CeCe ain't trying to sing at elbows. You know what I'm saying? She can't get in your headline at elbows. I think she probably Miami would be a great place. You talk about no state tax. You talk about, you know, being able to make happy wife. Also, $61 million underneath the cap. Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Parker, the ability to go out and sign a guy like Armstead to protect him. You know, everybody needs a little vitamin D. He's been sitting up under a cloud for like 10 years in Seattle. He wants some sunshine.
Let's just make clear what he's talking about. His wife is Sierra, and Elmo's is St. Elmo's, the famous steakhouse in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Just because I don't assume everyone knows what you mean by that reference. And it's so rare that I understand one of your pop culture references that I thought I would clear it up. Graziano, what else? Are we forgetting? First of all, does the league expect Russell Wilson to get traded?
I think that people are watching this situation closely, right? We haven't heard from Russell, right? His agent has not issued a 500-word statement saying what he wants.
But he did scrub them from his social media, or at least his avatar.
And last year, right, his agent gave Schefter the list of teams he wanted to he would accept the trade to if he wanted a trade. So What we don't know yet is if Russell Wilson agrees with Chris Canty, right? And if he does, if he thinks I can't win another Super Bowl in Seattle, then I would expect him to at least, you know, get the wheels in motion in terms of wanting a trade. It just, It's Russell Wilson, yeah. Right? It'll be done a proper way.
Yeah, what makes Miami a destination is because they can offer Tua Tagovailoa back in return, right? And also, they have two first-round draft picks. You talk about losing the two draft picks for Jamal Adams. They can give them a draft pick this year and still retain their draft pick.
You would want to go to a franchise that has shown the level of dysfunction that the Miami Dolphins have had the last five years, Brian Flores with Adam Gase and with Chris Greer, their general manager, still in place? That doesn't make sense. I'll take the franchise with Frank Reich and Chris Ballard that have had four different starting quarterbacks, and they've won, had winning seasons in three of the four of those years.
Just saying. Drew Brees going to the Saints when they were a joke, and how did that turn out? Mike McDaniels is within the division. They have a similar offense that they're familiar with Russell Wilson, what he can and can't do. Can't he?
Dan, I can't be the only one. Just leave this shot. I can't be the only one who's distracted by how much bigger Chris looks than Bart in this show.
Okay. Right? Like, it's okay. It's okay.
Listen, I made a career
out of dealing with guys this size. I have no problem.
Hey, G, you know what happened in 2011 when we played the Jets on Christmas Eve, right?
Yeah. Really? Well, okay. Okay. Victor Cruz. All right.
I would have greatly preferred not to have that.
They mentioned the safety on Mark Sanchez.
They going to pick a scab.
Who sacked him when that happened?
I was at that game. Was that you? Was that you?
I think that was me that sacked Mark Sanchez.
Okay. Greeny, if I play with a Hall of Fame quarterback, I have 3 rings.
All right. This was my fault. I should not have sidestepped.
You did it, Greeny. You did it.
That one was my fault. Score that one, E1.
Hey, I'm rippling, stealing, sex appeal, baby. I got abs up under here, Greeny. Believe that.
All right. We've offended Bart now. Let's roll forward. Our featured NHL game tonight is on ESPN+. We got the Blue Jackets and the Devils. Coverage starts 7 Eastern. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Coming up, the performance of the year. Is he the MVP? Ja Morant proving, like Bart, you don't have to be the biggest to be the best. Which was his most spectacular play last night? You'll see them all. Plus, forgetting somebody? Did the Packers' social media drop a hint about the end of the Aaron era? You'll see it, and you'll decide. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.